Well, it's essentially 5 o'clock, Wednesday, December 12th. This is a special meeting for both
fire
district board commissioners.
Dr. Edwards?
Use your voice.
Yeah. It's
loud hearing. No one can hear you.
We can't hear you either.
Okay. So this is a special meeting by both Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners as well as the San Juan County PhD Board of Commissioners. I'll call to order the PhD's component of this. Ensuing at 5 p.m. here at the Fire Department number 3 headquarters. The introduction will be made by Nathan Butler.
Let me call this to order too. Yeah. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and call the Fire District number 3 special meeting to order at 5 o'clock. Go ahead.
So, introductions, Mr. Butler.
Let's see. Do you want me to introduce everyone or just the CAG members?
You might as well.
Okay.
You're on the spot.
So,
Nathan.
My name is Nathan Butler. I'm the board recording secretary for San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. I'm also Pam's assistant superintendent. Starting at the end, Commissioner Mark Swingy with the hospital district, Commissioner Lindstrom with the hospital district, Vice Chair Commissioner Smith with the hospital district, Commissioner Appleton with the hospital district, and then Chairman Michael Edwards with the hospital district. On the fire district side here, we've got Chairman Bob Jarman, Commissioner Olson, and Commissioner Cardinale. That was easier not saying fire district after every one. let's see. On this side, we've got the EMS and the hospital district folks. The hospital district has two levies, so San Juan Island EMS and the hospital district fall under a similar administrative structure. So we got Superintendent Pamela Hutchins, Chris Compton, CPA, and Chief Martin of San Juan Island EMS. In the middle, we've got the CAG, who we'll introduce last because I'm going to give you more of an explanation. Here on this end, we've got Chief Collins with Fire District. Duncan Wilson's the sole Town of Friday Harbor representative. He's the town administrator. And then Carolyn Hudson, who is the, I don't know what your actual title is.
I don't either.
Wow. She does stuff. The fire department falls apart. So, great. Or so I'm told by the fire chief. Okay, in the middle, we have Chuck Dahldorf. Why don't you give a little wave to the crowd? Chuck Dahldorf. Mr. Dahldorf has served more than 32 years, professional and in the government, on multiple boards, commissions, and advisory groups. At one point, he was the chief of staff to three mayors of the city of Sacramento. He is an active member of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, the San Juan Islands Attachment, and is a firefighter for Fire District Number 3. Mr. Rick Frazier has 35 years experience in EMS as a pilot, director, and vice president of operations of a large ambulance service that provided emergency and critical care services by air nationwide. At one point, he directed over 300 transport units with a total budget of over $800 million. Mr. Mark Tompkins is the director of San Juan County Health and Community Services and is responsible for managing 30 staff and a multi-million dollar budget. He's been an active member of Fire District Number 3 since 2001. George Johnson and Dan Paulson are the remaining two members of the Citizens Advisory Group. They're not present today, so they're represented by Chair Dahldorf, Vice Chair Tompkins, and Mr. Frazier.
Thank you.
That was a mouthful.
Yep. So, next order of business is, since there are two board chairs here, is to elect a temporary chair, just specific to this meeting. So I'd like a proper motion to the PhD Board of Commissioners that Commissioner Jarman be the chair yet again.
Second.
All in favor of that?
Second.
Thank you.
Aye. You agree.
Okay.
You agree.
Okay.
You agree. Looks like I'm the chair.
Trey King.
Okay. With that being said, I'd like to disclose that Dan Paulson called me last week after you guys' meeting on Wednesday. I had a long conversation with Dan Paulson. He was sorry that he couldn't be here tonight, but I had a great conversation with Dan. I think the committee has done an excellent job. I think that we had the right people on the committee to wade through this mess to see if there's the best outcome that we can have. With that being said, I will call on Chuck Dunlore for the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. Chair members and board members and members of the public who came out this evening. So not to give you a lot of history, because you know it pretty well, but as you recall, the Citizens Advisory Group, we call ourselves the CAG. It's a very creative name we came up for ourselves. We were established in April of 2018 by the boards of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1, San Juan County Fire Protection District Number 3, and the town of Friday Harbor. The CAG is working as a group of independent citizens in a fully collaborative, congenial, and transparent manner. All of our meetings have been open to the public, and printed minutes and audio are available on the website of the hospital district. Our collaborative process is a commitment that we each have made. So at the end of this work that we're doing, we will be able to deliver what we believe will be an independent, unbiased, accurate, and unanimous recommendation from our working group. And hopefully it'll be a roadmap for the boards, the town, and the taxpayers and voters to potentially consider going forward. During the course of our work as a CAG, Citizens Advisory Group, we've held 13 meetings over 7 months, including this meeting today. We have another meeting that's scheduled next week, so we'll continue our meeting process going forward. The CAG has donated approximately 150 hours, and that's just for our meetings. That doesn't count all of the committee work we've done separately, phone calls, individual research and work. We've generated 40 pages of minutes to report to the public and boards what our actions have been. And there's approximately 30 hours of meeting audio on the hospital district website. There would have been a little bit more, but I blew it one day with a recorder and had a Rosemary Woods incident, if you're a fan of history. We've interviewed as a group 7 people, and then in addition to that, we've interviewed many others around the state to analyze best practices. We've organized ourselves into 3 committees. We have an outreach committee, a legal, and a financial committee, and we're all doing additional work that we bring back to our full working group. The CAG is in the process and has drafted combined budgets for fire EMS on San Juan Island based on input from 4 different agencies and drawing on the approved 2019 budgets. And we've spent about $1,500 so far, mostly on administrative support. And I'd just like to take a moment and thank Nathan Butler for his work. He's done extraordinarily great work for the Citizens Advisory Group and has made our jobs much easier. And he's been very, very professional, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Nathan turned a little bit red after that.
Well, early in our meetings, we discovered 2 important things. The first, I think, is that the question to be analyzed was not solely whether EMS should be merged into the fire district. The issue is much larger than what box do you house which organization. The second thing we discovered, and this won't come as a shock to a lot of you, is that both organizations are very, very complex, both in operations and in finances. The work that the CAG is doing, and we're committed to completing, is to arrive at a thorough, complete, accurate, and independent recommendation about a potential merger. The Citizens Advisory Group is committed to making a recommendation and providing a possible roadmap to the elected members of the boards, the town, the citizens, and this would be for consideration and potential action going forward. The questions we are addressing include, what is the level of EMS and fire services today? How do we improve, and how do we get the most affordable and highest level of service that we can achieve? How do we ensure long-term sustainable EMS and fire services for our community? We are concerned about emergency services that are operationally sustainable, financially sustainable, and sustainable in light of a committed but shrinking pool of volunteers. The CAG is not focused, and we've not looked backwards. That's not what our goal is. Our goal is to look forward. The CAG is focused on the level of emergency services today, and especially the question of what is the most affordable level of service we can provide to the community in the future. It's complicated, and I can tell you that what I believed we might have as a recommendation when we started this process of meeting isn't necessarily where I am today. And it may not be where I am tomorrow because of the difficulty and the complexity of a number of the issues that we've discussed as we've met. As you move through the question of a merger and analyze all the possibilities, you don't get a linear yes or no answer or a linear direction. In fact, you get something that looks like this, and this is in copies of the minutes that are provided outside. It looks a little bit like a Rube Goldberg drawing, and it's just filled with lots of possibilities. If you do A, you get to B, but sometimes you also get C. So there are lots of unintended consequences that are potentially tied to different directions and different actions. While we as a CAG have a general direction or a hypothesis of where we're going, as far as making a recommendation, we still have a lot of work to do. We're analyzing financial data. We're analyzing levels of service data here throughout the San Juan Islands and in similarly sized communities. We're analyzing district boundaries and electoral issues surrounding tax levies. While each of the CAG board members would like to get part of their lives back, we believe very strongly that this work cannot be rushed. As citizens, we're committed to providing a realistic, unbiased, and accurate recommendation and roadmap. We're committed to providing that to the boards and the town no later than March 31st. We may deliver that document before that date, and that would be something we would all like to achieve. But we are very realistic about the amount of work that's still before us. We do expect and appreciate your support for the work and our commitment as far as the time we put into this and the time we're continued to commit to finishing this work. I'd like to ask at this time if my colleagues, Mark Tompkins or Rick Fraser, have anything that they'd like to add.
Mark, you want to go and then I'll go?
Yeah, I real brief, it has on me, I was going to provide a statement. I'm not going to provide a statement from the CAG. I will just add to what Chuck has said. I think that what we're looking at is what is best for the citizens of this island, not what's best for fire, what's best for EMS, but what's best for our citizens, and how do we provide the best service possible, and what does that look like? And so that is the premise that we're working towards, is we want to make sure whatever our recommendation is and how that looks is, are we providing the best service for Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public? And so that's where we're looking at. And as Chuck said, we are going through this and trying to provide that roadmap so that if the boards want to pursue whatever recommendation we come forth with, we're providing you with the information that allows you to do that in a clear fashion. And so you're not surprised. We're hoping to find any of the pitfalls or anything else that may come into play. Because as Chuck has indicated, it's not a simple just do this. I mean, you can do that if you so choose, but I don't think you're really addressing the underlying question is what's best for the citizens of this island or of the district boundaries, I should be more clear. And as you know, the district boundaries are not the same. And so you have separate boundaries currently. And so that's really what we're looking to do. And we are making good progress. We are moving forward. And as Chuck has said, there's still things that are unanswered and things we're working on. We're looking at not only the budgets, we're looking at the various legal issues. One of our members has actually been in contact with the MRC, looking at legal issues, looking at levy requirements, those kind of things, and that's all ongoing. And this is not our day job, so it's maybe not moving as fast as some would like, but I think that the quality of the product that will come out will be very high and will provide that level of detail that I think as a board member, I would appreciate getting to know exactly what is being recommended and why, and what steps we have to do to move forward.
And I think I'd like to just add that, you know, in my career, I've had the opportunity to work, unfortunately, on many NTSB accidents. And one of the things that they really taught you was don't rule anything out until you rule something in. The complexity of what I think both Mark and Chuck have alluded to, a lot of it has to do to hinge on things we can't control. We don't know what levy votes would be. If something goes this direction, does it then spearhead this? And what happens if this doesn't get approved, then does it wash the whole idea? And how do you best approach it so that it can be successful at the end of the day? It hinges on people, and it hinges on trying to make assumptions that sometimes you don't necessarily know what that outcome is going to be. So I believe that, again, I think as my colleagues have said, and I think we can answer it maybe more in questions that you might have, but we've felt that this is about medicine. It's about health care. It's about, at least for me, it's about ensuring that where I live, I would get the care that I would want. I heard a statistic yesterday in the chief's meetings where the average mean age of this county is 57. So health care is real important. We have patients that are flown off to get health care because it cannot be achieved here. And you all appreciate that. The hospital does great work. My wife, she does a lot of ferry tickets to get people to health care on the mainland. So to roll that up, how does it all fit together to make certain? I think health care has done well here. Could it do better? Would it do better? How would you put it together if we made a recommendation? So at the end of the day, to try to make that determination and to flush it out so that it is successful. It's taken us, I think, longer than maybe what folks have hoped for, but hopefully they allow the process to complete, because I do believe that the team that has been assembled by all of your appointments has the capabilities to be able to provide a good product to you. So hopefully we'll get some feedback from you. We do have working hypothesis. I think synergies of scale, gone through many mergers and acquisitions, you should, if appropriately done, get synergies of scale. And so hopefully that would be intended. But as we spoke with one individual organization when they went through a consolidation, in their first year, they had $500,000 overrun to the budget. So we want to make certain that while it's certainly a much larger organization, any overrun could be perceived and negated by maybe just enough research and so forth. So I think with that enclosure, I hope that at the end of this, that it will be an enhancement to healthcare to the point that maybe there's opportunities for people that would have moved off because of their healthcare would be able to stay on island. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Chuck, Mark, and Rick for all your time and effort you've put into this project. It's been a tremendous project. And I have to agree with you, Chuck, that every other day I change my opinion because of facts and that sort of thing that come back and forth. And I think that you guys are doing a very thorough job. It's taken a lot of time. There is we'd like to, you know, feel if there's a direction which way you guys are going one way or the other, if there's time for us to start put some staff to help, you know, button loose ends up if we need to do that. And after talking with Duncan Every time I talk to Duncan, I walk away still asking questions because Duncan's job, his past job was as a lawyer, he did ask several questions, and when you walk away, you're still asking those questions. And through some of the conversations I've had with Duncan, he's told me that it's time to go from the $400 lawyers to the $800 lawyers that do this for a living. So, I mean, these are things that we need to see if we need to help move this forward or what we can do to help. At least that's my opinion. I'm not sure of the other commissioners. But at this time, I'll open it up for questions for the CAG committee. You want to start with you down there, Frank? Have you got any questions?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. What's the purpose of the meeting tonight? Because you're not going to give us a recommendation because you're not finished yet, right?
That's right.
So is this just for informative purposes, to let us know where you're at and how things are going?
Well, you called us to the meeting, so you can tell us what the purpose of the meeting is then.
That's basically that's the purpose of the meeting, at least in my opinion.
Well, to me, it was interpreted and described as an interim report. So by definition, both boards have been hands-off on purpose from what the CAG has been doing, and you've been doing a fantastic job as I read each and every one of your meetings, minutes. But somewhere along the line, we need to get engaged in this process because ultimately we have to take over the ball and run with it. So you're doing a lot of the basic groundwork and homework for us and design for us. And then, we have to relate to that operationally and financially. And again, as all three of you have said, in the best interest of the community. Intuitively, we think that there's a lot of promise here, but the details have yet to be worked out. We're asking for you folks to continue on with your work. I think that somewhere, perhaps even tonight, if we become participatory in this, it's going to be better for the community ultimately.
I would just say that as a citizens advisory group working independently, we really appreciate you giving us the independence and the time to have done the work that we've done so far. I think we would be concerned as a working group to have a parallel track or a parallel process going, only in as much that since we're not in any position right now to make a full recommendation, we would hate to see two parallel groups running off in different directions, and then essentially we'd be either back to ground zero or we'd have two competing groups. You know, we're hoping to be able to provide something that, you're the elected officials. You ultimately have to respond to your constituents. So hopefully we're going to provide you with something that can be looked at and you could point to as being an independent work product that provides a direction going forward. It's not that you can't begin to think about what the possibilities are in a potential merger. But I think we still have a lot of work to do, and there's still a lot of possibilities within that within that context. So I hate to see us run in some opposing direction.
Yeah, I don't want to see that at all. What I would see, Chuck, is if you're capable or willing at this point to think to give a recommendation, that we go ahead and follow your recommendation and give you more support to get to the finish line. Say, for example, we were to put together another committee between the two chiefs and a person off of each one of the boards so that we can come up with financial means if we need to go out and hire the $800 lawyer. Would that be? You know what I'm saying? Is to give you more support. And we could be working on using staff to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and it may be something we as a working group will ask for. I don't think we're prepared to ask for that this evening. But I appreciate that because I think as we get closer, we may need to expand some of the resources we're investing to get to a conclusion. But, it's certainly something we'll go back and talk to our board members about and our working group members and report back to you.
All right. Mark, do you have any questions?
I think we ought to wait and not impanel a steering committee until we have the recommendation from the CAG.
So I'd like to interject something that Bob brought up. Was a thank you to the three gentlemen sitting before us, but Dan Paulson and George Johnson also participated. And I wanted to thank them from the PhD board, and I'm sure the board from the Fire 3 board. Collectively, you guys have done a bang-up job, and we're very, very, yet again, appreciative.
No, I appreciate that, and it's been a very collaborative effort. Everybody participates. Everybody, I mean, we really have made a commitment from the beginning that we were going to do this jointly and together, and we've stayed to that operating principle.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck, are you going to be, is your group going to be able to take a good look at both budgets and see where we are financially? Do you need help in that department? Do we need to get somebody to look at both budgets and see where the dollars and cents are? Because that's our job, too, as commissioners. We're the bean counters.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And it's certainly a complex operation. It's something Rick has really added to our working group as far as going through that. We're still at a point now that we've started to merge different budgets together to get to the best apples-to-apples comparison that we can. Not you're never going to get pure apples-to-apples, but we get applesauce-to-apples, which is pretty darn good in this world. I think at this time we're moving ahead pretty well. It's not to say that we won't ask for some assistance as we move forward.
I would suggest that there's probably going to be opportunity now to engage. So, you know, our kind of our start-off process was to do more interviewing. Now I think to hone in, it'll probably be some recalls of individuals. There's some new individuals that have joined the organizations that to be able to speak to them. The financial side is, you know, I appreciate that it is complex, but it's actually, it's nice because at least for EMS and for fire, you're on the same accounting system. And one of the things that we've been looking at is kind of the foundation of all of the county and how does one entity, you know, manage with another entity. But for these two budgets, it's nice because they're at least like line items. There are differences and fire has their GL code and EMS has their GL code. So there is a little bit of, you know, having to do some interpolation, and we may need to do that effort. But I think right now we'll be able to get, I think that before the end of this, though, we are probably going to have to talk with some individuals and the chiefs to start to talk about exactly what you're kind of suggesting is. So at the end of the day, as the recommendation comes out, how does it piece together so that it does do this instead of doing this?
Because, there, you know, there's in the county, both Lopez and Orcas, they do not run EMS levies. They just run a fire levy and pay everything out of the fire levy. But
yep.
I think in the real world, most fire districts in the state of Washington have both levies. And the downside of having what Lopez at Orcas has is that with an EMS levy, you renew it every 6 years. So in the course of 6 years, your 50 cents goes down. So in 6 years, you're up back up to 50 cents, then you go down again, where Orcas, they're just continually slides down. So they're limited, their budgets are limited, you know, to 1% a year. That's tough. Everything else goes up 3-4% a year.
Yeah, unless they go back out for a levy lid lift.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So there's, like I said, there's lots of different scenarios.
There's elements to it, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Lisa?
I just would like to say I appreciate your work. The CAG, thank you. I like hearing that you're really looking at the situation for what is best for the citizens in this district island. That's what's important to me. And I appreciate that you're taking your time. You're looking at this really comprehensively. And, you know, a March end date for a report, I think, is great.
Rebecca?
How about tomorrow? No, March end date is great. If sooner, which Chuck, you said, if sooner, that would be great. I'm wondering if, you know, you're talking about recommendations for specific things financially and operationally, and I think that the chiefs certainly have to be involved in those decision-making processes even before they're made as a recommendation. They're the ones that are going to run the organizations, and they need to have the input for that. And then the boards, I mean, we have the authority for the financial part of it. So again, that, I think that's what the chairs were suggesting, to get for us to get involved in that part of it, so that we can be involved in that part of it. So that, I guess that's my only question, is how it fits, how a specific recommendation fits with, you know, all the other things coming in without dealing with those.
You know, one thing we said early on was, not only do we want to be accurate, but we want to be realistic as far as making recommendations. So we're not trying to come up with recommendations that would be completely unacceptable or not fit our community. So we're very cognizant of that. We want to make sure that we're delivering something that is doable. So we will continue to bring in people as we need to, particularly as we put this document together and start to get towards a point of making a recommendation. So I appreciate your comments.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say, Rebecca, is the reason that we would certainly advise not having that parallel track is, as was mentioned today, you don't know what our recommendation is going to be. We're not even exactly sure what our recommendation is going to be at this point. So we don't want you going down a pathway and then have us come up with a different recommendation.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. No, I don't want silo committees. I think that defeats the purpose. I just think that the chiefs, you need to get the chiefs in there and talk to them together would be great, you know, work that out, and then maybe get some, you know, whatever else advice, and just get advice from the chairs on who, you know, who could be next and how to proceed.
One of the things that,
That's okay.
One of the things that, you know, we've been coached on or counseled from other organizations that have gone through this is that, you know, the financial piece is a big element of it, because people look at that and, you know, they've suggested that when you bring these things together, because of synergies of scale, there could be maybe opportunities of reduction. But the other side of that is that you have to be careful that you don't strangle yourself in the process. And so our hope, and you know, one of the elements that we thought that if we come forward with at least a baseline of what we perceive out of what has already been here, and we put a reasonable and realistic financial package together, that at least from, and hopefully from a standpoint of the residents of the island, that when it does go out for a vote, that there isn't a bias in one way or the other, and that it's looked at as that, okay, an independent group, unbiased by the operations, has come together with a foundation. And that foundation may change. I mean, as the chiefs come in, they might go, well, this needs tweaked up, this needs tweaked down, and so forth. But we could realistically present it, and hopefully in a single shot, you know, not have a no vote, that we really try to build this so that we really can get a consensus yes vote the first time right out the door. So part of what we've really been struggling with is the unknown of what a vote is going to do, and try to really put it together so that we get to that yes and that approval at the end of the day.
So I'd
I was going to get
Duncan.
He's getting ready to head out of town.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's right, Duncan. You have to.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've got some time left.
Because you take a lot more time than I do.
I know, I apologize.
At $800, you're allowed to.
You know, the discussion of the parallel track and why are we here and all that, they're great questions, because the independence of the CAG is just as important as the overall control of the organizations that you guys are seeing. So I see this as a perfect time. I don't think there's any malintent to be here. I think it's a good idea that we're all here. I think that we can really answer some questions and get some vision going forward.
So I want to maintain that independence, yet the oversight function, and I think we can find a way forward. To me, I see questions of operations, questions of service levels, and questions of financial considerations as really good ideas for what the CAG will do going forward. What I think we can segregate out and what we can agree on and what the takeaway here can be is this idea of the path forward, the route, whatever it may be, because that's something we can all work on and at this point in time. I think that the roadmap out of this is really the most important thing that we can work on now so that we're not wasting time. We have a critical path to get from here to there. Anything we can do now while awaiting the CAG is going to shorten the critical path for getting to where we need to get to. From the town standpoint, it seems to be that number one, and this is where I opine, the number one issue is we need to get the vote before the people of the annexation of the town into the fire district. That to me is a really important element that simplifies the rest of all the structural problems we're talking about. So while we await a final decision of whether to go forward, we can do some pre-planning for what this roadmap looks like. I think number one would be a vote of the citizens of Friday Harbor and a vote of the citizens on San Juan Island that are in District 3. They both have to vote yes for this annexation to occur. How in the world do we get them to vote to actually tax themselves more than they are now? I think the only way we can do it is that if we roll it out and we go to vote, that we know what this that we have the support of the citizens advisory group saying that this annexation is an integral element of putting us all together and for our future operations. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to pass that vote for people to go in and say, we're willing to tax ourselves more. Second, the town of Friday Harbor has to make a verbal and public statement to the community that if that happens and you have to annex in and are going to have to pay for those fire services, what about the money we've been paying under contract till now? We have to commit to them that we will take that money and do something with it that is not going to be just free money floating around in the future. The commitment I think that the council is willing to make is taking a lot of the savings that would occur under that scenario and putting it towards roads, streets, infrastructure type of elements. Another opportunity is we could actually cut some of our property tax to lessen the burden on everybody for what they do. But the real balance here is the town doesn't like to cut back on its property tax because that's your rainy day fund. But on the other hand, the citizens want to know that money is being used and being used properly. So I think the town council and the mayor would commit to taking those monies and allocating the savings we have into something such as the roads capital fund, where we know we're driving it back into investing in the community. Once that step is over, I think the next roadmap element is, and what goes next after that, that's really what I think you two organizations can figure out at that point. If we get that annexation done, the next thing we'd have to do is work on the campaign for getting the vote out to actually have a new levy that would integrate both. By the time we figure out what steps we'll have to take, regardless of whether they're executed, but if we can lay that roadmap out for what has to happen one after another, how do we do that kind of level? What kind of legal issues do we have? What's going on? Once we've laid the roadmap out, if the CAG comes back and says, do it, we have already done all the pre-work and we're ready to roll at that point in time. If they come back and say, no, you shouldn't do it, then it may be time to reconsider that it's not the right thing to do at this time. So my suggestion in the walk away here to keep you engaged and to keep them engaged is that we do put the roadmap on the chart right now. Let's start working on it. Let's roll it all out. And then that way we can go forward. When they're ready to make the recommendation in March, we know what we're doing, and we can get a vote out to the people in a relatively short period of time. And I'm sorry for taking so much time, but I just see that as a win-win for everybody here and a positive spin for how we push it into the future.